1 Peter 1, verses 10 to 12. Concerning this salvation, the prophets, who spoke of the grace that was to come to you, searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you, which have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Luke 10, verses 23 and 24. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
If you want to come a bit nearer to the cushion, feel free to come and grab a cushion and sit here. You might be able to see the picture a little bit more clearly. Anybody want to join John down there as well?
It's actually not bad down here, isn't it?
Well, friends, it's good to look at the Bible together for a few minutes, whether we're quite young or much older. I want to ask you to think of privilege. When you think about privilege, what might you think of? Anybody want to suggest what they think of as privilege?
Undeserved.
Well, it may be undeserved, absolutely right. Just give me a human example of privilege.
Enough money to live.
Enough money. Well, that's actually all we're promised, isn't it? Enough to house ourselves and feed ourselves. We should be content if we have those things. But often people want a lot more. And I've never done this. In fact, I've been right at the back of Aeroflot flights to West Africa. But some people might like to get around. Do you recognize that? Who's been in an aircraft in those sort of seats? Don't worry. Oh, wait, Bill booked us, has. Right. Perhaps he might not admit it, but I suppose on a long-haul flight, an airplane like that, you have a bit more leg room, and there is always a waitress service bringing you what you need to eat or drink, and probably the food is a little bit better than you get on the economy, or much better, and you might be at the airport, you're escorted rather more quickly on and off the airplane. One idea of privilege is flying around the world in comfort. Think of a word which, for you, or a description about joy. What makes you really joyful? Sunshine? Yeah, it was a beautiful day, wasn't it? Frost early on, but the sunshine is always something which cheers us up.
Family,
yeah. Some of their granddaughters and grandchildren and daughters, grandsons. Other things about joy. Give me an example of joy in your own life. Thank you.
Singing.
Singing. Yes, singing's very joyous, isn't it? We have that with our singers here, led by Peter and Rosie and Ian. Other examples of joy.
Gardening.
Gardening on your knees. So that's not everybody's idea of fun, but for some people that's a very joyous thing. Well, let me give you a picture showing spontaneous joy. And sometimes on Mill Green, I see people like this. Not with the water behind, of course, but jumping with joy and the sense of fun in the world. Well, our reading from 1 Peter is all about privilege and joy. And what Peter says about the coming of Jesus Christ is it's all the prophets searched for. is all the prophets search for. We live after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And boys and girls and adults around the church, they're scattered various displays from the school about the meaning of the cross. And do look at those because they're coming down later on today. But do you know the prophets were looking ahead? They were searching. It's a bit like they had their binoculars out and they are looking right into a distance to see what they could see. Could they see anything? Well, they glimpsed some things about the cross. Others glimpsed things about the resurrection, looking right ahead. And Peter says, 1 Peter 1, concerning this salvation, the prophets spoke about the grace, the favour, the undeserved love, which is to come. Now, another picture for you. Imagine you were on that ship, the Titanic. Do you know what happened to the Titanic? It hit an iceberg. It was very serious. It went down very quickly. And that Cunard liner, wasn't it, Titanic? Sorry. Thank you for correcting me. That massive liner sunk. Now imagine, girls and boys, adults, you were in the Titanic. Perhaps you were having a nice meal and you were admiring the chandeliers on the ceiling. You were having a nice glass of some particular red wine and you were relaxing. The music was being played. Oh, and the wallpaper was wonderful on the walls. And the staff were so efficient. Well, you'd be mad if the boat sinking to carry on listening to music, to carry on eating, because you're in a very dangerous place and rescue is needed. So you might need to put on something like a life jacket. You might hope to be put on a lifeboat. And what Peter says just before that George read is that we are receiving the goal of our faith, the salvation of our souls. Now, salvation is a rescue word. It means we are in terrible danger. A bit like being at sea when an iceberg hits the boat, we're in danger of being lost. I wonder if you can think of something which is terrible, perhaps a terrible disease or some accident. You're caught up in the mountains. Now, those are all terrible things, but there's something far more dangerous, and that is sin. And sin is when we only give God a walk-on part in our lives. No real part for him to play in our lives. And there we are, just ignoring God, as it were. And we're just leaving him at the side of our lives. That's a terrible thing to do. But there are the prophets, where the binoculars, they're looking right ahead. And they looked at the Psalms, and Zechariah, and Jeremiah, and Isaiah. And you look at those readings, perhaps we had some of them around Good Friday. It talks about the suffering Christ, but also about one who is going to be glorified and see life and bring life. And it's a bit odd because it were peering, as it were, into history, years ahead. And some saw about the cross and the suffering servant. Others saw about the risen, glorified Christ. But it's all about the death and resurrection of Jesus. And they were speaking about what's going to happen way beyond them. They're seeing right into the horizon, craning to see, and they saw something. They weren't totally clear who it was, when it was to happen, or what it was which is to happen. Now, I was in Waitrose a little while ago, and there were two little boys, very eager, and their mother had a bag. She'd been somewhere, and the father was also there,
And they kept on saying, these children, "Mummy, Mummy, what's in the bear?" Ooh, you're not having that till Easter Sunday. What could that have been, do you think? Easter egg, possibly? They're eager to look in to the bag. And those prophets were looking, they were so eager. They only saw an outline, the cross, in the distance, in some measure, and also the resurrection as well. I wonder, do you realise, adults, how privileged you are? What you've received in Christ. Even if you've got difficult teenagers, don't concentrate on them. What you have in Christ is a wonderful privilege. Perhaps the job is pretty difficult at the time, or you're facing redundancy. Well, remember the privilege you have in Jesus Christ. And we're told those prophets, as with binoculars looking at the horizon, they searched intently, says here, to see the time and circumstances and what was predicted about the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. You know, they weren't serving themselves, but they were serving you. Wonderful thing to know. That's what they were doing. And then that reading from Luke about how Jesus says, do you know, he says, what you're seeing and hearing as you meet with me and hear me, he said to his disciples, well, that's what countless people have waited hundreds and thousands of years to see. We're so lucky, so fortunate, so privileged. We live after the death and resurrection of Jesus. And then, more briefly, it's all the angels long for. The angels also appearing in, as it were, with a magnifying glass. They long to see what's going on. They're looking in. It's a bit like the disciples on the day when Jesus rose. They went early in the morning to the tomb. The stone was rolled away. And they looked in intently. They couldn't work out what was going on. And that's the sense. The angels are looking in on what's going on. And I think they didn't understand totally. And perhaps still don't, because angels are sinless beings. They've never done anything wrong. They don't see the need for rescue. But here they see something quite amazing. And they long to see the wonder of what Christ has done. Well, who are you looking at today? What are their concerns as you go back to school? What are the concerns as you look at the fragiles, at the world, at your own life? Perhaps it's a financial forecast. Perhaps it's Brexit. Perhaps it's a cricket. Perhaps something else, perhaps a new term, and exams. And we're looking there, and our focus is all there. But actually, what we have in Christ is wonderful. The prophets peered ahead, waiting for it, and the angels long for it as well. And there's joy in heaven over one person who comes back to Jesus Christ and said, I need your rescue, like being rescued the Titanic. So what does it mean to us? So what? It means we should treasure our Bibles. And some bits, I know, are hard to understand. Which bits do you find hard to read, adults, in the Bible? Leviticus, right. Well, Leviticus points ahead to Christ. Perhaps I should preach a little bit on Leviticus one day to explain its relevance for today. But Leviticus is quite dense, isn't it? All those things about sacrifices and sin. And we wonder what earth is about. But it points forward to Jesus Christ. And because the Old Testament, the law, the prophets, all about Jesus, we should be looking at that as much as we are the New Testament as well. It's a picture for us of privilege and joy, so we should treasure our Bibles. The Queen was given a Bible by a Scottish minister when she was crowned. Your Majesty, receive this book, the most precious thing this world affords.
What does a queen have, do you think, in a way of wealth? Any children want to tell me? Any young people? What does a queen have?
Castles.
Castles, yeah, wonderful castles, yes. Great lands, estates.
Jewels.
Jewels, crown jewels. Imagine it, the value of a crown jewels. And she also has lots of art treasures. You might think those are much more valuable, but no. The Bible should be treasured above all things, as she is reminded when she became the queen. And they're not just treasure our Bibles, but also treasure telling others. There's so many people in Wargrave, in our schools, who have no idea who Jesus is. They think he's not relevant. And yet, that Jesus died for them and rose again. And we should be excited and joyful and jumping around because we should treasure Jesus Christ's salvation. Its height, its width, its depth and length. And I hope as we gather, Sunday by Sunday, sometimes midweek as well, as we ponder Christ who died for us and rose again at home, we'll be excited and thrilled at the great salvation we have. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for all you give us. We thank you as prophets peered ahead all those years and saw you on the horizon. Thank you we live when we can understand so much more clearly who you were and why you came and what you did for us.